Thank you, all three of you. Thank you, Brother Caleb over there and the duet. And God bless you for being here. Spanish ministry is in their service. The children are in their service. We have an army, literally, of adults working with kids tonight. And it's wonderful to be together with you. Take your Bibles. Let's go to the book of Mark this evening. Mark chapter number 9. Continue to pray for Brother Anthony Bellina. He's got two kids, of course, in our elementary school. He had a 5 pass yesterday, and it's just a major surgery. And then, of course, he's on dialysis, and that's a big, big situation in his life. You pray for him and other great needs as well these days. Brother Dan Joe, I don't know. There you are. I heard you're in church. We're glad to see you back there tonight. And continue to pray for Brother Flint in these days, Brother Nguyen as he goes through chemo, and so many folks of that nature. Last week we began this, I don't know how long it'll be a series. I know I have about, I guess 9 or 10, but I don't know if we'll go that long. Maybe I'll double up some of these or more. But how to move the heart of God. You know, in life, you don't get less burdens. The older you get more burdens. And I don't think you get less vision. You should not. I have more vision. I want to see more things accomplished for God. I want to see the impossible accomplished. But consequently, I'm always trying to, by the grace of God, I say it with great respect, move the heart of God. I want to do what I'm supposed to do, so I can gain the attention of God. And I know He never leaves us nor forsakes us. I know His eyes are attentive to us. And I know I can call upon Him and He will show me great and mighty things. But there are certain things that I think were very obvious in the Bible, that it was very obvious that it moved God. Remember last week's lesson, tears move God. Hezekiah in Isaiah 38, God says, set your house in order. You're going to die. And God answered his prayer. He went to prayer. And in going to prayer, God said, I have seen thy tears and have heard thy prayers. God sees our tears. Last week I mentioned tears are our language. God understands. God understands our fears. God understands our tears. God understands our sorrows. And when a mate or a child, sometimes we see their tears. I would think it would motivate us to want to try to remedy that need. My wife is crying, and some of you ladies, you can't overcry. I mean, you're always a basket case. He's going to say, good night. Take care of yourself. But you know, when your wife has a need and she's moved to tears or you move with emotion, boy, let's take care of that. And when we see things that move us, it moves God. Tonight, there's the second ingredient I want us to see, and it's found here in Mark chapter 9. And I wonder if you just, well, you've been sitting a while, and let's have you stand, please, if you will. And we're going to begin reading in verse 14, chapter 9, the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark in chapter number 9, beginning in 14. Let's do our best to stay together. Let's just read for several verses and we'll just keep going until I ask you to stop. Verse 14, ready, begin. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, and he fell and mashed with his teeth, and cried for the wind, and has faith to thy disciples. And verse 29, and thank you for reading. I always generally remain silent and listen to you read Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Of course, Brother Bertram reads with you on Sunday morning and night, but it's a thrill to hear God's people read the Word of God together. That's wonderful. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, this kind, this miraculous kind, this kind that we cannot explain other than it be from Thee, this kind can only come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. And Lord, here's another way You're trying to teach us to get answers to our prayers. Fasting, doing without, saying no to our flesh, that we might give ourselves to prayer. And I would imagine, Lord, that every person here has something beyond their ability. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And this great auditorium tonight that's filled with people, if you're like me, I have some things with our heads bowed that are way beyond. I can't meet that need. I cannot remedy the situation. And if you're like that and you would be willing to raise your hand, I have something that's bigger than me. I like prayer tonight. I want God to see my hand and you as well, Pastor. Up in the balcony, the lower floors, would you raise your hand? Something that's bigger than me. You may put them down. Our Father, I could not see every hand, but it's a wonderful thrill to know when we ask that question, something like that, that God, you see every hand and you know the need behind the hand. And I pray that tonight we might recognize that many times we're very careless when it comes to prayer. Many times we neglect it, or many times we give up because we pray and there's not an immediate answer. I pray that tonight, God, you'd help us to learn another, something we already know, but just remind us of something that really moves the heart of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. In our text tonight, by way of introduction, here's a discouraged father. I want you to see this discouraged father, verse 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And of course, this boy could not speak. And the Bible said, I brought unto thee my son. Some of you have a son, or you have a daughter, you have both. I have a son, so I can say this. We have two girls as well. But I tell you what, that thought when my son, I'm reminded, you know, I just think of this, of David with Absalom. When Absalom rebelled and died, he said, my son, Absalom. He said it four times in a row there. Would to God I would have died for thee. I think I really believe that we have these three children and their mates and our 13 grandkids. I think I'd be very happy if it was legal and they needed a heart. I know if my heart was working and theirs wasn't, I would not have to pray about it. God knows that's true. It would not have to be a thing that a situation I have to pray about. I want to give to my son. Don't you want to give to your children? Here's a dad, and he saw this boy, the scripture says right here, all the way from a child. I think of one of my grand nephews, niece, her son. She has 9 boys, and 2 of them are twins. And the one, I think those two little twins, I'm guessing now they're about 8, perhaps even 9. And the one has never been out of a wheelchair, and he has never walked a day of his life. And he's never talked. He's very brilliant in his mind. He's very smart. He can think. He can reason. He knows it all. He just cannot speak. He cannot move properly. He cannot walk. He's in that wheelchair. And he's the most beautiful little guy. You know, and God sends children like that into our homes. And we think that this is such a difficult thing, and it is for them. But he has become the joy of their family. What a joy and blessing he is, little Jacob. And I think of that little life, how important it is. You know, a parent would do anything. They would do anything to try to get that boy. And the grandparents have tried. And they've researched things. And they've been to doctors. And they've been to stem cell and all these different things they've looked at. What can we do to get our son? What can we do to get our grandson to speak, to be healthy? You'd do anything for your kids. And here the Bible says, this boy, he could not speak. And not only that, he was demon-possessed. He taketh him and he teareth him. Verse 18, he teareth him. What's the first thing this demon does to him? Tears him apart. Rips on him. Tears him. And he foameth. That's demon possession, by the way. And people would go to concerts and cut themselves and abuse themselves and sometimes literally foam at the mouth, demon possession. And the Bible goes on, and gnasheth with his teeth and he pineth away. Four things. I spake to thy disciples. This father, the anguish, I spoke to Jesus, I spoke to your disciples. They couldn't do anything, they could not. Notice what he says in verse number 20, and they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway, I have all those straightways in here in Mark and Luke circle, because straightway just means what it also says many times in those books, immediately, straightway, immediately. Immediately, the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground, and he wallowed in foaming. This is a case beyond a father's capability. Dad can't do anything about a demon spirit, demon possessed boy. Dad can't do anything about the spirit of this guy, his son. And he asked the father, how long ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. Somewhere along the line is a child. This demon possession. And not only did that happen, look at the next verse. Dad says, oft times he hath cast him, this demon cast him into fire. And the waters, he threw him in the waters to destroy him. Look at this next phrase. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus, will you help us? The truth is, that sounds like undoubtedly so many in this room tonight. Lord, I have this situation. It's so great. It's so overwhelming. Jesus, could you please help me? I know you've prayed like that because you're looking like at a man that prays like that so many times. Lord, could you just please help me in this situation? I want to do my best to honor you, and I want to do my best to carry this burden. This is the thorn in the flesh, but God, would you please help us? I was going to make a visit today, and in the vehicle, I saw that big hotel over here, and that's just one we put on the, I don't know what one, if it's a hotel or if God wants Apple computer for us, the new building, if that's maybe the new dormitories and all of that. It's only $6.4 billion. But I don't know what God has, but I'm praying for this miracle. So are you. And I have this report that these hotels within just a few mile radius this last year have all sold for an average of over $60 million. This one over here, it's probably going to, if it ever goes up, it'd probably be $80 million. Now, I just want to ask a very blunt question. I want you to stand to your feet. I would like all the people in this room that have at least $50 million or more in your bank account to please stand. Should I take it down to $25 million? Anybody like that? You're my best friend if you have $25 million. Nobody has that kind of money. So what do we say? It can't be done. It just, Brother Sprague, it just can't be done. We can't buy a building like that. We can't move the college to a college campus, wherever it might be. It's not possible. Many of you were around 24 and 5 and 6 years ago when we were fasting for this property and begging God for this property. And could we just park our cars on this property? And they said no. And then we got permission to park the cars. We could not have the key to the gate, the chain to get in here, and somebody had to come. And then in time, they gave us the key. And then in time, they said, you can rent the second floor, which is now the library. We can rent that second floor for $10,000 a month plus utilities. And we said, you pay the utilities, and we'll give you $1,000 a month. And they said, go ahead. And then I can remember when we could not even consider buying this. And then we offered that $4.5 million. And they said, no, we just sold it for $9.6 million. And then a year later, they came back and said, those deals kept falling through. Would you still like to buy it for $4.5? I'll never forget saying to Mr. Yates, I'll never forget saying, we want to buy it and we will buy it, but the price has changed. It's now going to be, can you sell it for us for $3 million? And the prices went up. And they said, you got to be kidding me. And you know the whole story. Who's your lender? I said, could you loan us the money and you'll take the mortgage? And he said, I think I can do that. And he said, how much can you put down? And I remember telling him, $1. And he took it. He said, when can you make your first payment? I said, in 16 months, we're starting to college. Can you wait 16 months before the first payment? He goes, we can. I remember, some of you remember, we put these, Brother Skirty, I just saw you back there. Yeah, you remember we put those little podiums and like these music stands? We put them around the property, and there were snails. They were growing snails over here at a place. And then they'd dump them, and you'd walk on those snails and just crunch. And we walked around this place like they walked around Jericho. And we prayed, and the stickers from the weeds and the mess. And homeless people were living under these trees. The trees were all the way on the park side, all the way down to the ground with the branches. It cost us $10,000 just to move the debris out over 20-some years ago. That was underneath. It's just an amazing thing. You know, God did this. And if God can do that, it's sort of like sometimes if we're not careful, God fed the 5,000. And then two chapters later, he's going to feed 4,000. And some of the people that were there for the 5,000 didn't think God could feed the 4,000. And sometimes if we're not careful, God did a miracle on that 1 acre for all those years, and he continues to do it even every day. It's being used 7 days a week, and God did something great over there, and then God gave us this even more. God can take us to the next step. This dad, he says, can you help us? What would happen if a crowd this size would just go to God? God, could you just help me? My marriage? Open my husband's eyes, open my eyes, open my children's eyes, open my dad, my mother's eyes that they've come to know Christ as their Savior. God, would you do something special? Would you use me for your glory? And we ask God, would you please, will you help us? Please, would you have compassion on us? We live in a day which we truly believe the Lord Jesus is coming again. I believe it's coming is nigh. And I also believe that God Almighty wants to do great things in these last moments. Perhaps God is just looking, where can I pour out my blessings? And I think we've been experiencing it. Look at what he says. This dad, I'm going to get where I'm going quickly. It won't take me long after this. And straightway the father, verse 24. We've been talking about the dad, the discouraged father of the child, cried out and said with tears, isn't that interesting? There are those tears again last week. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. That's us too, isn't it? I believe God can do anything. Like those three Hebrew children, God can deliver us. But if not, I have such faith and I have such fear. So do you. And here's his father, his son's condition. Verse 26, one more verse about the daddy. And the spirit cried and he rent him sore and he came out of him. And he was as a dead, one dead. And so much that many said, he is dead. When this demon, when this demon left him, he left him wrenched and it looked like he was just dead. I see this discouraged father, but he went to some discouraged disciples. The disciples' discouragement began the previous chapter. Would you look at it? Chapter 8 and verse 31. The disciples heard something from Jesus that really troubled them. It made them discouraged. And he began to teach them, 8:31. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and the scribes and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. Peter begins to rebuke him. No, I don't want you to die. These disciples were there. They heard from their own ears and from the lips of Jesus that I'm going to die. For this cause came I into this world. I'm going to die. It did not motivate them, did not challenge them. It discouraged them. Here's these discouraged disciples. Look at chapter 9, verse 28. And when he came unto the house, the disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? We're powerless. We're just powerless. What are we going to do? You're leaving us? You're going to die? We can't even cast out a devil, a demon? What's going on here? These boys were discouraged. I should not refer to them as these men were discouraged. And then he tells us the amazing verse. He says in verse 29, would you read it with me? Ready, begin. And he said unto them, this kind, and prayer and fasting, they go together as a hand and a glove. Prayer is a teo, that Greek word to crave, to ask, to desire. He said, I've done that. I can recall in 1966 at the San Jose Fairgrounds hearing John Rice, Jack Hiles, preach. And John Rice, and I've told you this many times, the story. John Rice was there with Bill Harvey. Bill Harvey was the leader of the Great Crusade Choir and the congregational singing. And John Rice, I can remember him singing, just keep on praying. And then Bill Harvey, till light breaks through. And then John Rice, the Lord will answer. And Bill Harvey, will answer you. God keeps his promise, his word is true. And then together they sang harmony. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. As a teenager, I drove over here from Fremont. I remember him singing. And I remember them singing that night at the fairgrounds in that big, big old place. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. I would like it. Wouldn't it be great if it worked this way? Now, Heavenly Father, we have this need for this $70 million dormitory space and hotel. And would you give it to us, please, right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Where's the hotel? But sometimes you pray, till you seem like nothing's going to happen. I know it's little, but I prayed for 31 years for a 15-minute daily radio broadcast. 15 minutes, you think you could figure that out by yourself. Just, Lord, would you give us a 15-minute radio broadcast? And God never gave us a radio broadcast. I just wanted to talk to you every morning. That's what I wanted to do. I just wanted 15, that's all I wanted, 15 minutes. I always would say, Lord, maybe 7 in the morning, 7:30 in the morning, 7:45, 6:45, somewhere around there early in the morning. Could you just give us a station? And you know that 11 years ago, God gave us, and we didn't make a call in one day, about 70 stations. And that was just of God. I told the staff yesterday, I was walking down the hallway at Brother Bobby Robertson's funeral a week ago, and someone said, "Hey, Brother Treiber," and then someone else said the same thing. They said, "Hey, Brother Treiber, I heard you this morning on WPIP, the AM radio station there." And I had to immediately just rejoice, because we have these stations all over the nation now, and picked up another potential. Now we don't have 10 million, but another potential 10 million listeners in Kansas City, both states, Kansas City, Missouri, Kansas City, Kansas, and Alexandria, and all up in Richmond, Virginia, and all up and down all these places, and people are listening. And then the internet, and then the shortwave. God did that. God did that. But I tell you what, it might be a little, well, we don't need a 15-minute radio broadcast. Yes, but we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed. We've been on this property now these years, but it took so many decades of prayer to get over here. And God says, "I'm going to keep you on that 1 acre over there." And I'd go sometimes, I'd say, "Lord, there's 38 parking stalls here. We have 2,500 people in Sunday school on this 1 acre. God, can you please, what's wrong? Am I the problem?" You know, you begin to introspect. Am I the problem? What's going on here? And God said, "This kind, this miraculous kind, this unexplained kind can only come about by prayer. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there." I hope every person in this room has a prayer journal. I hope you're keeping prayer, track of prayer requests that you have. I hope you can list all your children and all their needs and what you're praying that God would do in their lives, and what God would do spiritually, and what God would do in their housing perhaps, and what God would do in their marriage, or if God would give them a child, or God would bring a prodigal son or daughter back home. But friend, what are you going to do? You just keep praying. You say, "But I pray all the time." I have some things on my heart, literally, that are every hour throughout the hour, they're on my heart for the last many years, and they're breaking my heart. I can't get it out of my heart, and it's there, it's there, it's there, it's always there. I'm always praying about it, and this need is so great, and this need is so great. And God, and I'm not mad at God, I'm not frustrated with God, because God can give you grace when you don't have the answer to prayer. God's trying to build me. God's trying to give me a relationship with Him on a higher level, perhaps, than I've ever had. Anytime you go through life and there's heartache, God's building you. God's sending strength. I think of, and I can say this tonight, Anthony Bellina, on Saturday, I stopped by the hospital to see him. And he had the 5 pass done yesterday. And Anthony was telling me about how these arteries were all closed down, and one was almost 100%. I think one was about 90, and all were really high up there, just closed down. And he said to me something. He goes, "You know, something's interesting. I kind of thought I knew what he was going to say, because I've heard it many times." He said, "You know what happened? My heart created another bypass." That's what happens with your heart. Some of you shaking your head, you know that. It's going to get that blood through, and many times it'll just force its way through, and it created another way around to just keep them alive. God knows what He's doing. God's your prayer request is not taken by surprise. Your great sorrow that you face in life, your great heartache that you face in life, I know it's able to be said because it's on the internet now. Brother Rhett and Lindsay Kaiser, our staff kids, are just a young couple on our staff, and their first daughter, I guess she's probably in about fifth grade, and she, I can remember the day they found out she had diabetes, and that pump. And then little Dax, who's kindergarten, just last year, he got diabetes. And yesterday, Bailey diagnosed with diabetes. All three kids on shots. That's a hard one to understand. I can't comprehend it. My heart aches. But I'm telling you this, my wife and I have been praying together, and she said to me again last night, none of this has taken God by surprise. And it's easy for, that's not my kids, but I love them like my kids. God knows. God knows. I want to say something to you dads and mothers. Now, forgive me, I always talk about my dad too much, I know. But I watched him go through every sorrow and difficulty and cancer and car accidents and strokes and loss of a business and reversals. My dad never changed. My dad never got moody. He never got mad. He never quit church. He never went to church and pouted. He sang in the choir till 93 years of age last March when he died. He just kept singing, kept serving, kept loving God, had a happy spirit about him. He cried. I know he had to cry the midnight hours. And I know my mother cried when we lost everything. But I'm telling you something, so many of you, you're going through a trial to train your child. And then you get all mad at God and mad at the church and depressed in life and you need to be medicated. Oh, friend, go just pray about it. And tonight, God says, I want you to pray. Prayer moves the heart of God. And these disciples were not empowered. But they said, boys, you're not even praying. There's no indication that when they tried to heal this boy and see this demon cast out, there was no prayers. And he said, boys, you've got to pray. He said, well, I don't see it with Jesus. Well, right there, I see it right there, because he said he had to pray because he told them this is what you're supposed to be doing. But then our second word and we're done. It comes by prayer and it comes by fasting. Fasting's hard. I cannot say I'm the world's best example in fasting, but I can tell you this, that my entire ministry I've practiced it and believed it. I believe it if you're just going to fast a meal. You might want to, a lot of college students, I don't recommend, I think college students and young people, you need to get good nourishment in your body first thing in the morning. You got to be careful about when you're fasting, especially when you're in school full time and working a 40-hour a week job and working in the ministry. You got to be careful right now. And I can recall at times where I fast a meal, or I fast two meals, or I fast all day, or I fast a Jewish fast from sun up to sundown, or I fast for several days, or for many days, and some have gone way beyond me. And I can recall so many times in my life, and in even recent days, just saying, I'm just going to deny myself of that which my body needs and craves and wants. And it's just not saying no to food. It's saying no to food and yes to taking that time when I would have been nourishing my body to go to a place of prayer with God. And say, I'm going to give this time in prayer for this great need. I don't know, I don't understand all about fasting. I know Doug Fisher's written books on it. I know other preachers have, and they're a better source than I am. But I know apparently if God says you want some miraculous kind, you're going to have to pay a price. It's called prayer and fasting. It's called prayer and fasting. Tonight these disciples discovered that they were powerless. Our Lord was trying to teach them because he's now a short time away from being killed and his life taken. He's trying to say, now, boys, you're going to have to do better than what you did. And if you want the touch and the miraculous kind, you're going to have to give yourself to prayer and self-denial. I want to be very cautious and careful how I say this according to 2 Corinthians in a mixed company with children here, teenagers here as well. But God tells us in Corinthians that that's what may take place with a husband and wife. They say, we will, instead of any relationship, we'll give ourselves to prayer and fasting. And and then come back together later at another time. So important. You know, tonight, God wants to answer our prayers. I read or heard a preacher so many years ago. I don't know where it was. I think I heard him preach. It may have been 40 years ago. And he said, I'm wondering. He said, I cannot prove this, but I wonder if one day God would take us when we get to heaven and it'd take us on a stroll, and someone says, look at all those doors. Where do those doors lead? And Jesus, and I know it's not in the Bible anywhere, but God opens up, Jesus opens up those doors and said, this is the door that's filled with answered prayers, but you never ask, so you never got them. I know that's a little bit far-fetched, but it's always had an impact on my life. I wonder how much you have missed that God wanted to give you, but I failed to pray for you like I should have. Acts 6:4, my job is to give myself to prayer and to fasting. I think you see there's prayer cards there, and they're on my desk from last Sunday, and if you want to use them, you can. If you don't want to use them, I'm not making them public. They're just prayer requests. You say, would you pray with me? Sometimes if you don't want to put your name, it's just, I don't know who this is, Lord, but this is unspoken. Do you know that's my job, to pray for you? And some things I'll know. Some things I just know by watching. I watch sometimes people that they used to sing, they don't sing. I'm not sitting there thinking, that old heathen, what are they pouting about? You know, I'm thinking they have a problem. I wonder what's going on in their life. They must be disappointed. They must be suffering about something. Somebody must have wounded them. I hope you young boys, and I know most of you college boys are not in here tonight. You're at work. But I hope when you pastor, you're not harsh to your people. People go through troubles. And it's not your job to stand in the pulpit and nail them from the pulpit and preach about them. It's your job to Acts 6:4, pray for them. I wonder what things God wanted to give you. I've thought of it so many times. I don't want to ever fail you, but I wonder how many times I've failed because God wanted this, but God's man has to pray for his people. I wonder how many times you have missed it because you didn't pray, or you prayed once, or you prayed 5 times or 10 times. You say, nothing's happening. I prayed for my son to be saved. I prayed for my daughter to get saved. Nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. What do I do? I'll tell you what, God doesn't answer prayer. Well, I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt that God answers prayer. I live with that in my heart. I know whenever I can't find something or misplace something, I generally take sometimes and say, now, Lord, I can't find this. Will you direct me? And my wife and I just talked about this 2 weeks ago. Because I had to leave and go to the house. I had to find something, and I put it somewhere. And I got home, and my wife was there. It was early. And she said, have you prayed about it? I said, I am, but I'm going to get in the car. It's not here at the house. I just ran in. I said, it's not here. But I said, I want you to pray with me. And then I said, I'm going to get my car, and I'm going to pray from the house 4 blocks away to the church. And you're not going to believe it a million years. And it happened so this way all so many times. I got back, and it seemed like the Spirit of God said, open that drawer. I don't keep what I was looking for in that drawer. And it seemed like in that file cabinet drawer on my desk, and I looked back, and I just happened to look, and there it was. I know that sounds ludicrous. I know that sounds minute to you. But, friend, I needed that piece of paper. I had to have that piece of paper. Somebody was waiting on that piece of paper, and God gave it to me. And if God is interested in a piece of paper, He's interested in the souls of mankind and the hurts of mankind and the heartaches of mankind. He's interested in a dad who's got a boy from his childhood that's thrown in the fire and thrown in the water and he's gnashed upon and a demon's getting. God is moved with that man's desire. And so he said, now disciples, you couldn't answer this. You couldn't meet this need because you're going to have to put some effort in it. Prayer and fasting. Father, I love these people so much.